good spell. With John and Mary on a good spell. They're tough and honor, and it's everything you wanted to know. Tune into the DS106 radio show. Intellectual conversation, the leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet, so go and give them a tweet. The DS106 Good Spell Show.
This is the DS106 Good Spell, futzing splendidly since 2013 on the DS106 Radio for Life. This is one of 106 bullets from blog post 106 published by the DS106 Shrink at 1:06 a.m. on Tumblr at the end of the headless 13 run of DS106. Mantras and koans, if you like, that explore the open online digital storytelling course DS106. Meditations and rambles about education, openness, open education, art, fun and learning. I'm John Johnson, and with me as usual is Mariana Finnis. Good evening, Mariana.
Hello, good evening, John. And they can hear us, and there was very little futzing, I'm reliably informed by Kathy.
Oh, gosh.
Yay!
Well, we've got a lot to catch up with then. we're on. And this bullet, after last week's, I suppose, quite deep and literary podcast or broadcast, this week the bullet is bullet number 53. Identifying a subtle piece of the world to isolate in a gif is where art lives.
Well, that is lovely. Whoever wrote that, that's a very nice sentence.
it's a lovely sentence. Maybe we should stop that. Or maybe actually what I should do is say, identifying a subtle piece of the world to isolate in a gif is where art lives. Identifying a subtle piece of the world to isolate in a gif is where art lives. And so on, to make a sort of animated audio or an audio gif.
Yes.
We repeat ourselves a lot.
Well, that would be good. That's the way to do it. There you go. We've got auditory gifting going on already.
So
lovely. I must say, when I read this, when I thought, oh no, goodness me, talking about animated gifs on radio. only we would think of something like that.
Well, I mean, and we have mentioned them the odd time before, I dare say.
Yes. But this is a bold statement, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, animated gifs in is probably one of the things that sort of badge DS106 for what it is. There's a lot of animated gifs going on in DS106, and probably for good reason. But when you say a subtle piece of the world to isolate is where art lives.
Yes.
Can you?
Well, I think for me, I kept at the beginning. First of all, I suppose I started when we started the Headless 13. I started not really knowing what an animated GIF was, let alone how to make one. And so, you know, I guess it is good to say to people that, you know, that was the starting point. And then, of course, you start to read about it, and not everything that you read is very positive. And of course, I kind of fell in love with it, and, you know, the idea, and I was determined to learn how to make them. And for me, I mean, it may be very different for different people, and you know, I know, you know, I've asked many people about this. For me, it's about the ability to capture a moment in some. And I guess I like you know, the ones that the animated GIFs that come from film, and, you know, kind of isolating. And the more I've learned, the more that has been the attraction, or the sort of aesthetics of it, which is, you know, picking the exact frame and making sure that you isolate that one little thing that you know, that you want in a sense to live forever, because, you know, and that's kind of where the sort of art of it, because anybody, you can put, and this is again going to be probably controversial, you can stick you know, any bit of film in any GIF maker, and it'll make you a GIF, right? But that's not art in my mind.
So, yeah, and I think if you look at, I mean, GIFs are obviously exploded as a medium of communication at the moment. You've got sites like Giphy, and people are using reaction GIFs and GIFs to express different emotions. You can even get I've got a GIF keyboard for my phone so that I can send my daughter animated GIFs when I want to annoy her. You know, they just rip out bits that express something, that communicate something, but I think we're talking maybe about things that somebody spent a wee bit longer on, first in identifying an interesting bit of a movie, and then in sort of editing it so that it catches the essence of what you're doing.
And it goes back to the whole thing about the digital storytelling, isn't it? It's this thing about, you know, anybody can create a loop, but not anybody can tell a story in a loop. And I think, you know, I'm mindful of one of the Daily Creates. You did this one, juxtaposing old with new. And people did some wonderful things. Ron did, I don't know if you saw the one that Ron did. He had this background with, you know, the background of New York, and he animated the kind of people around the table. He did several because he was so excited about the whole thing. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. You know, that requires thought. It requires blending together. It requires having the skill to, you know, to think about. And I was looking at them the other day when it came out, and it is that thing of, you know, you watch, and this is not a film. This is something that it starts as a still image. And then you think, what are you going to do in order to make it come alive? I know, but there is a kind of, you know, that's art, you know. There's a sort of mystery to that, about what makes us look at something and go, oh, I know, I'll make that move, or I'll make that move, or I'll do this, and I'll lift this, and this will, and then it creates a sense of something very old that was a still image now moving. That there is something very beautiful about you. So you're isolating something, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like for both movies and for this thing that you're doing some sort of criticism or explanation, or, you know, it's almost like a film critic or something in a movie saying, you know, notice that bit. This is really interesting. Or in the case of a film, and if you remember the Tate Gallery in London,
yes.
Released a lot of their pictures from a particular gallery that and invited people to create animated GIFs, and they were really interesting because, you know, some people did some very clever things, but other folk did, you know, just picked out things that a wee bit of movement emphasised something in the story that the picture was telling that you might not have noticed.
Yes.
And it's like that person has spent time on this, noticing this, and they're almost acting like a critic or a guide to that picture by saying, look at this bit.
And it goes back, of course, to the critique idea, you know, and how you kind of have to spend a lot of time, as those of us who make them, you know, a lot of time, whether it is that you're going to make a still image move, or whether you're going to isolate a little bit of a movie, for it to tell the story, often you have to spend quite a bit of time with the thing. Often what we do is we pick things of maybe movies we've watched many times, and we want, you know, one particular image to say something. So it's that sense, I get what you're saying, that sense almost of, you know, critiquing something and saying, actually, this is important. Or, you know, or sometimes maybe I just like it, which I guess is the, you know, the other thing. There was this project, wasn't there, and I'm not going to remember where it is, but Michael Branson Smith pointed us in the direction of it, which did a whole film in one animated GIF. And the whole thing in that is really fascinating. I've always wanted to go back to revisit that because, of course, it's like which you have to really know a film to pick all, you know, the frames that you think will, in one GIF, tell the story.
Of the whole film, yeah.
Yeah, the whole film. I always think it's a fascinating thing to see what people choose, because clearly, give you a film, give us both the same film, and we're going to pick different frames, aren't we?
Yeah, I think I quite often spectacularly prove I am poor at interpreting stories and things. If I watch a film with my wife or my daughter, or you know, see a play or something like that, they are much better at extracting meaning from it than I am. So quite often I need to watch something several times before I'm going to get the point that I think is interesting, or I may just get the complete wrong point. trying to capture a whole film, and there's also, I think, something interesting that the GIFs as a digital medium have been around for a long time, relatively, as a digital image format, and they're very, I guess, particular and limited. Like, they're limited in the number of colours, they don't have sound, and maybe that's a good thing, you know. It's like it's a constraint, and if you're creating something, if you're telling a story or making something, then the constraints that you've got sometimes give you freedom. It's almost like a poetic form, a sonnet, for instance. You can tell a story and you could make a movie, and that's kind of could have a form, but it could be kind of free verse compared to the sonnet of the GIF.
And that's so true, because often, or at least I find myself sometimes thinking, oh, such and such would make a great GIF. And I go and I find the thing I'm thinking of, and I go, no, this is not about the image, this is about the sound. So you take the sound away and you go, actually, it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's quite a good learning, I often find, you know, when that happens. Because actually, what you watch a movie and what you remember is a scene. And you think, oh, that scene was so brilliant. But the animated GIF kind of forces you to separate out. And of course, then I'm going to talk about your audio GIFing that you made. And allows you to do something else, which is to watch something that has no sound, and then be creative around what sound you put in there. You know, so you watch the thing, and if you imagine it having a sound, you can add your own sound to it. And I found that really lovely. I kind of again want to go back to that and do some more.
Yeah. Well,
creativity of all the different channels.
Yeah, I think there's possibilities of taking several limited forms of communication and mix them together almost randomly and seeing what comes out, and then seeing if you get something interesting. But I think that this business of watching films, I've never been a great... I mean, I've watched a lot of films in my life, certainly, but I don't think I had much knowledge about the art of, you know, the visual art in filmmaking, and I don't think I have a great deal, but actually thinking about animated GIFs has educated me to some extent in film, which is quite interesting. When you think that, you know, originally GIFs were, as you said, people have different views of them, but very much a throwaway medium that didn't really have anything intellectual or anything to do with it. It's, you know, very much a, you know, wee guy with a shovel saying site under construction, and it's been taken to something else, and you know, some really interesting things done.
There is a fascination, isn't there, however we do it, with this kind of this sort of repetitive movement, because I think there is something about that, and when you catch just the right thing, yeah, anyway. I mean, I just love them. Can we just say that? Can we just conclude? I just love them.
I think, yeah, there's a good ending to a post. There's a couple of posts which I'll pop in the show notes that you wrote and published on Medium, and one of them ends with this here. And as I stopped worrying and learned to love the GIF, I woke up one morning and found myself making GIF art as an open educator. I no longer ask why GIF, but what is the GIF? And the answer to me is simple. It's a kind of magic that makes you learn and smile. That's lovely, you know, I think that's
it. I said that.
Yeah, you said that. You wrote that. Yeah, that's
exactly right. Anyway, yeah. Is that when they work, that's sort of what happens, isn't it? You just find yourself going, oh, yeah. Well, at least I do.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a lot in that. That's why they've got so much traction, is that there's something. I suppose it's like when they use flip books you used to make in the corner of your jotter.
Yes.
When you're a kid, there's that sort of aspect to it, and there's people taking it all. I mean, there's the high end, what do they call them, cinemagraphs or something, which usually consists of a model with her hair blowing and nothing else. But
you know, of course, the attraction of that is suddenly you think it's a still thing.
Yeah.
You see something move.
Yeah.
And that, you know, oh, what, how did that happen? It's kind of like the Harry Potter thing, you know, like the Harry Potter newspaper that showed you how everything moved.
And in that post I was talking, there's some really nice examples of people being very clever with GIFs, so we'll pop those in the show notes. I think say a couple of posts there where you're exploring GIFs in a really, really interesting way.
The thing that Michael I think says about, you know, that actually even thinking about picking this kind of magic moment and isolating it, that, okay, there is something very wonderful about that. But he kind of says, well, why not take it a step further and then creating animated GIFs that are impossible in some way, because, of course, the medium allows you to do that so that you can have things going backwards and, you know, and so on. So you then, you know, are also able to make up a moment that could not exist in real life. I actually think that, again, you know, takes it that next level.
And there's some really nice sort of mathematical GIFs, I guess, from patterns and repeating patterns that are become quite hypnotic and interesting along that line. And I think that's, you know, for something, as I say, that started off to make an icon for your website that said under construction and had somebody shoveling, or, you know, something that they've been taken to a great, just a huge pile of different interesting things.
And there was this this professor, I don't remember the name, but it was kind of, I think it was Chinese cinema, and she was teaching, and she got Jim, I think it was a she, and she got Jim to help her with her students to get them to do some GIFs of the particular films that they were critiquing, analyzing, etc. And there were some beautiful, beautiful GIFs there. You, again, you know, kind of like you're saying, using the medium to isolate, pick out scenes, and then, I guess, analyze them and speak to them. So, so that's an, you know, there are so many lovely examples that I think go beyond the just use, you know, using any kind of, you know, GIF maker and you know, and get a loop, because I think it's the thing that has the thought behind it. Oh, look at Ron is just put through, because he's done this before, which I thought was just lovely. He tends to use stuff that kind of might be a still picture of you know, people in his family who have, you know, made things, and then he makes them, you know, he animates them, and he's just posted one of them, and he says making, you know, he likes making art move and isolating the parts that give most effect when moving is crucial. Of course, it's a similar thing, isn't it, where you look at something and you go, so what would be moving here if it was moving? Which requires, again, some time to think about it, as well as the skill to make it.
It's also, I'm just looking at this one, which is a, I'm guessing a Dutch painting, yeah, from the name of the person, of a sailing ship moving up and down. And for some reason, like, gifts are also a wee bit like ships in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they can do this sort of impossible thing, or, you know, add an extra dimension to a model or an idea or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just, there's a nice wee quote by mm-hmm. somebody whose name I'm probably going to just mangle. Horribly.
Oh, I mean, I couldn't help you really, because I only ever have seen it written down.
And it,
but go for it, you can do it.
It's Eli Mulayerchuk. Is that right?
That sounds good. That sounds good.
So, Ellie, if you're ever listening to this, I'm eternally sorry for mangling your name. And we'll probably pop this in the show notes as well, because it's a really great quote. And I don't know anything about this person, but maybe Marianne will tell us if she does. And it says, it's a more organic and intuitive medium to relate an experience, more so than a photo or a video. Think how we recollect memories. Close your eyes and think of something from your past. You don't see a frozen still image, you see GIFs. Even when we dream at night, we see fragments of events that collectively create some kind of narrative which we assemble into a story when we wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we daydream, we don't watch a fully featured, uninterrupted film in our head. We think in fragments, often non-linearly. Gosh. Tongue twister time. So, where did we get this, Marianne?
I'm just quickly trying to see if I can find her. She is a GIF artist. I found her on Tumblr. And just trying to see if I can... yes, there she is. And she was interviewed. I'll see if I can find the interview. By the people, I think, because they do sometimes, you know, they interview famous GIF artists. She was interviewed, and they asked her the sort of why question, and the what does it mean for her, and, you know, all of that, and I read that, and I thought how lovely, because that's really, you know, she's not, you know, she, that it's for her, it's not about psychology, it's about art, but she is describing what is our inner experience when we are thinking in images, what we do, you know, it isn't a kind of fully formed thing. She's absolutely right, it's very much fragments, very much, you know, in our heads we can make up impossible images,
mm-hmm.
And we can non-linearly put them together, so the end comes before the beginning, and you remember something and how it ended, and you can go all the way back to where it started, and you can, you know, do all of those things. And I thought, what a great association, that actually there is something about how we think that is embedded in the medium when we see the gifts, and that maybe that is part of the emotional pull, the attraction that we feel. It was what attracted me. What attracted me to it. She was also the person in the same interview. She said how, because when I first started, you know, and I've always had this thing about, you know, is it good? Is it bad? How do I know it's, you know, it's not useless? And so I would read, you know, the kind of accomplished, you know, GIF artists and what they say. And she says that the thing that she knows it's finished. She works with it and she keeps on working with it and working with it and working with it. And she knows it's finished when she can't stop looking at it. And I thought, okay, well, if that's the test, then yes, I know exactly, because there are some that you could just spend your life looking at.
Yeah.
And there are others that you just go, eh. Yeah. And I love that. I'll see if I can find that interview. It was a nice one.
Yeah, well, we'll pile these into the show notes for people that want to take their understanding of GIFs a wee bit further. And the other thing that struck me when I was thinking about this earlier today is what you're doing with a GIF is you're isolating something, an aspect of a movie, say, or a story. And stories in themselves kind of do that. You know, when you tell a story, to somebody and it's repeated and changed, you know, Chinese whispers, and stories become very much distorted from the reality that might have kicked them off. Or as a storyteller or an artist, you may take an aspect of reality and you may be taking a truth out of a sort of more general picture by, you know, cutting out the stuff and letting people see one aspect of it clearer. But in doing that, are you, you know, distorting it? You're discarding there's maybe not actually a story there. Are stories lies?
Well, the Economist guy who did this thing about stories are dangerous because they lie. Because of course, part of what we do in telling a story, and I guess it's I see where you're going with this. You know, it's the same as we do with the gifts in a way, because you know you can create the impossible. You isolate things and you isolate them in a particular way to tell a story that may not have been the original intent if it was a film, and may not be, you know, reflective of real life in any way, but just a view on real life, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you know, is that a lie? Well, and then of course you get into what does you know any art portray, and I guess it is, you know, a reflection of a reality which is not the same as it existing out in the world.
And maybe with gifts it becomes easier to see that in some ways, you know what I mean? Maybe they're useful in that aspect too. Sometimes they're obviously an illusion, or they glamorize or demonize something in particular. And stories do that as well. And very often.
What's the name of this guy? Yes. He's on Tumblr, something like Slovaknik or something, and he makes amazing gifts that really are political statements, you know, political statements about, you know, the state of the world, how we are, you know, trashing everything, how our commercial mindset is destroying the world, and it literally is just one image. Mm. I can spend hours looking at those because I think it's just so, you know, it's so easy to use up lots of words to comment on the state of the world, but to be able to have, you know, to create one image that is able to make important, you know, political, social statements, I actually think that is a great, you know, a great thing to be able to do. And I can imagine the amount of work that it takes, because in those cases they are not just animated GIFs, but they are original drawings.
That's not the ones inside somebody's head.
No.
That's of cogs and gears.
He's the guy. He's done the one that has this little guy in a pile of rubbish. Little guy in a pile of rubbish who is in this kind of treadmill, running in a big pile of rubbish, and the big pile of rubbish is moving with flies and everything. Let me see. So that, you know, it basically just talks about, you know, how we are ignoring, you know, the state of the world. But I mean, it is a strange thing to be talking about this on radio, because, you know, people want to see this thing, don't they? I don't know.
We'll have to find that at some point.
I think we can probably find, if you entertain our million listeners for a minute, I can probably find it.
I say, googling little guy in a pile of rubbish doesn't do it for me, unfortunately.
Exactly. But I think I know where it is, because I used it very recently for something, so I can probably, here it is, it's Sholim, Sholim, and this one is called Life is Beautiful, and I can actually give you, I think I've got the thing, so I will we can put that in the show notes so people can see it. And it's a wonderful thing, absolutely unbelievable, unbelievably beautiful, I think. In, you know, it's showing something horrible.
Yeah.
But because it's basically saying we, you know, in the way that we keep, you know, running and running and running and doing more and more, and, you know, be the more we do that, you know, the more rubbish we leave behind. But of course, you know, it's said in a way that I think is much more beautiful than my words.
Actually, this is the guy I was thinking of. He's got people inside people's heads with weird things going on.
Ah, okay.
Well, maybe it's not.
I just sent you the link so you could see if it is the same one. It might be. It might be, because he does have different, you know, like a lot of artists do. They have like different types of exhibitions and things they do.
Anyway, we'll get that in the show notes, because I'm thinking.
But I mean, I suppose there is that, isn't there? It's the you can use the medium for political commentary. You can use the medium for emotional reactions, i.e., you know, a short thing when you sending to your daughter because you want to, you know, you want to annoy her, right? So, you know, stuff that, you know, expresses an emotion. And I think most of the everyday use of it is that, you know, encapsulating an emotion and then using that as a shortcut for words, which in itself it's interesting, you know, this whole thing of speaking in gifts. So it's generally emotional, as you say, the sort of reaction things. And then you have the kind of mathematical things that you were talking about. And there, the beauty isn't just in what the code produces, but for some people, if you're interested in it, and believe in the idea that code is art, if for some of the people, of these artists, when you look at their code, there's a sort of, you know, and there is one guy, and I think he's called NA5. He's on Tumblr. He sometimes publishes his code together with me. I think I may have sent him to you before. And, you know, because he's particularly proud of the wonderful code that he made that creates this thing. And there is, again, you know, an aesthetic about that, isn't there, about elegance, code that produces something. I mean, I don't have any idea how to do that beyond my very basic level of processing, where I made just one circle that ran up and down the screen. That was the extent of my elegant code.
that's pretty much where I got with processing. I think it's a few squares tipping about and things. Obviously, you could spend an awful lot of time in all of these things. One of the things that is maybe just a thought is that you know, this process of isolating bits of a movie or taking a still image and finding something you think you can move and then with software manipulating it to make that, it can get quite repetitive, you know, actually doing the creation. And I actually find that quite relaxing. You know, if I've had a heavy day at work or something like that, sometimes just coming home, digging out a bit of Blade Runner again or something like that, or, you know, finding some bit of some image on Tumblr that's public domain, or on Flickr that's public domain, and playing with it or combining, you know, a painting with some movement, and then just going through the reasonably boring business of going through 32 different frames on an image and changing or rotating something or resizing it is quite relaxing.
It's kind of what I think Ron was saying about when he does this kind of, you know, old pictures, and then, you know, he spends time bringing them to life and finds, you know, he finds pleasure in doing that. I find that similar thing. I started doing restoration of old cartoons. And I planned on and making gifts of that, right? And I planned on doing a lot more of it, and I haven't. But because the whole process, I mean, I thought it was going to be way easier than it was. I started to learn, and I made, you know, I got a few cartoons that I really liked, really, really old cartoons, so the quality is bad, etc. And the whole process that you have to do is a frame-by-frame process, of course. to make it look better and to improve it. And it is like painting in a way. Mm. And I think I recognize what you're talking about from that. That sort of, there is a kind of repetitive nature of it that gets you into a kind of flow state where, you know, I don't know about you, but I would in that situation normally be thinking about what is the output, and I get focused because I want the thing to look a particular way. So then I get lost in the process of it. And that can be, I've never found it frustrating, annoying or anything. And if I do, generally what comes out is crap. Mm. You know, sometimes I don't know if you ever do, but I sometimes get into, I must get one done today.
Yeah.
They are often not the good ones.
at that point, you're lost. But it's almost, I think if you're doing something repetitive, you can get into concentrating on making your repetition of these things as efficient as possible. Mm-hmm. And I find that quite nice, especially as I say, if I've been thinking or working hard or all the rest of it, then the process of playing around with, usually in my case, fireworks is good fun. Yeah, which gets us back, I think, quite nicely to that quote that I quoted from yourself earlier about
the magic.
Yeah, just it's kind of magic when you learn and smile and stop worrying and learn to love the gift.
It is a kind of magic. We are very lucky that we love them. Of course, it is a good thing that in our million listeners, we do not have Sandy, or she'll be heckling us from on Twitter now.
And yeah, there's some things, and I know that you particularly like fast cut things.
Yes.
Which it takes a bit of getting into, and people can do some very kind of weird things with GIFs, which are just almost like special effects for your eyes, and there's something really interesting in that, I think, especially if you see where it's coming from.
Yes, and but of course, you know, there is a kind of flip side, which, you know, I, for example, very rarely make a daily create where I, you know, it's just an animated GIF. I sometimes, you know, go, okay, you know, you can do it as a still, or, you know, animated. Because I do know that, you know, there are some people that really do not get it, and that, you know, they like to do different kinds of things in DS-106. And just because I happen to be the, you know, one of the people that loves it, you don't want to. You know, you have to be mindful that it doesn't work for everyone. And take, for example, the fast cut ones. You know, some people find that it makes them ill. So, you know, you do have to be a bit thoughtful about where you put them and how you do it. Like, for example, you know, putting notices around the fast cut ones, because it can affect people. You know, people's health. I know, for example, Rochelle doesn't like them because she says they make her feel, you know, basically ill. And Sandy just doesn't like any gifts, but that's a principal thing. But that's a different thing altogether. Yeah. Anyway, the general point being that, you know, they're not for everyone, and you know, they weren't for me when I first started, but I have, I suppose, discovered the beauty in them.
Yeah. And I think we can probably say that, yeah, we do. We have learned to love the GIF. Is that a reasonable place to wrap this up?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
We've GIFed out, so I'll just knock out a wee bumper and then we'll be away. So this bumper is one that should be played at the start, so I'll play it at the end. In fact, here's one here.
DS-106 Radio.
Turn it on.
DS-106 Radio.
Turn it up. Is there anybody out there on TV on the satellite radio?
DS-106 Radio.
Big Daddy only here, are you listening to me on the satellite radio?
DS-106 Radio.
As the galaxy is in where the stars burn wide, are you tuning in, turning on?
DS-106 Radio.
Is there anybody listening to Earth tonight on the satellite radio?
DS-106 Radio.
Listen to the radio.
DS-106 Radio.